I'm going to suggest that board questions, that we hold the board questions until after we've heard from public comment so that we don't interfere in the public comment time. And I have a list here, but I'm also, if there are people out there who didn't get their names on the list, you can just come up and tell me or pass me a note with your name on it. And I would like to start the public comments a little bit early, if that's okay with everybody. If anybody comes in late and wants to speak, we'll add them to the list, okay? You all have 3 minutes. Ryan here, Edwards Tiegert from KPFA in Berkeley, has a gizmo that has great big numbers on it, but you have to remember to look at him. So so when you look at him, it'll say how many minutes you have left to speak. I'm sorry? I think we have to move that mic out into the opening. Oh, you can't move it. They have to. I'm sorry. You guys have to move. Yeah. Oh, yes. I did that before. Yeah. Okay. And let me remind people that we have a counsel who's an expert in FCC. Her name is Melody Virtue, and she is here and will answer questions that come up during the public comment period on the question of LMAs or PSOAs. What? Okay. Melody asks that the questions be submitted in writing. So if you have specific questions, you may certainly articulate them when you're at the microphone, but also please put them in writing so that they can be passed to her and she can answer them. She will respond at the end. I'm going to say this right now.
Masquila.
Masquila. Yeah, is first followed by James Sarut.
Sagerton.
Okay. Thank you. You have three
Thank
minutes.
You. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Wait. Stop. Brian has to start the clock.
Once again.
Go ahead.
It saddens us to come before mixed company to speak ill of another person of color, especially a black woman. But we must do so today as well. Yesterday it was Toni Norman. Today it is Michelle Price. The urgency of the issue trumped personal likes and dislikes. Michelle Price called us terrorists in response to our going to a Westminster Church jazz event on January 17th to speak with those in attendance about the crisis at WTPFW. At that time, we urged the audience to come to this PNB meeting and ask for their names and email addresses to send details. Most were eager to give their information and said they wanted to know more. Some even said they refused to support the station financially under the current management because they would not get what they paid for. Michelle Price said this CMS action was the equivalent of tossing a grenade into the event with WPFW's name on it. She proceeded to dictate that no one is permitted to use the name of WPFW without management's permission and then threatened us with individual and collective legal action. Is this Lewis Hills Pacifica? Earlier that very day, same day, staffer Gloria Minot and her co-anchor, Nick, cut off and attempted to censor two leading CMS members when they called into the first real community comment in months. One caller mentioned Tom Porter and Jared Ball. The other tried to inform the community about this meeting. The WPFW co-anchors refused to take another CMS call by having the person wait an entire hour. And, of course, by then, community comment was over. Is this Lewis Hills Pacifica? The morning incident shows an escalation of censorship by programmers, of listeners, and callers. Is this Lewis Hills Pacifica? Michelle Price defined terrorism as the use of violence and threats to intimidate or coerce, especially for political purposes, and the state of fear and submission produced by terrorism or terrorization. Is this Lewis Hills Pacifica? Michelle Price's response to the evening event was overkill and an attempt to intimidate and coerce those of us who exercise our First Amendment rights. If we read the statement from the Westminster Church event right now, we are certain you would say, who is threatening whom? who is trying to coerce whom? Who is trying to intimidate whom? Who is trying to terrorize whom? Will the real terrorist stand up? Is this Lewis Hill's Pacifica? Can I finish this paragraph? This is what is happening in D.C. Gag orders, threats, firings, indefinite suspensions of programmers without due process, and disrespect for dues-paying listeners and sponsors. Solving WPFW's financial crisis will not happen with any of the interim managers that were hired by Summer Reese. The solution to this financial crisis is to restore Pacifica to free speech and social justice, as enshrined in the mission statement. That is Lewis Hill's Pacifica.
Thank you. I respectfully want to ask people that when the bell goes off, you're really just supposed to finish whatever sentence you have in front of you and yield time. It's really not fair to everybody else for, although, you know, I certainly appreciate the comments, but I think we just have to try and stick to the times. So when the bell goes, finish your sentence and we'll go on. So we have James followed by Jewel Bachrach. Go ahead, James.
Hi, I'm Jim Sagerton. I'm from BAI in New York. I'm a member of the Finance Committee, and I'm here with members of the Community Advisory Board because we're all concerned about the possibility of the PSOA and the LMA. I just have to say, first of all, I'm almost embarrassed with a loosely structured statement here that's not polished to follow these other speakers who just were, you know, very, very well prepared and did a great job. The first thing I wanted to talk about is transparency. The issue of the PSOA has been shrouded with secrecy. We're being told we can't even know the names of the entities that might be trying to that have responded to the request for proposals. And we just want to stress very much the need for transparency. And quite frankly, I've been told that, you know, if we do this in public, if we discuss who these entities are, that they may go away. We have had discussions with at least one of them at a public community advisory board meeting, and it seemed to go fine. We had a very intelligent conversation about radio and moving on to digital multimedia platform, and it wasn't a problem. And if we're dealing with other entities who would go away if we have transparency, as a democratically based progressive organization, perhaps they are not the people that we want to be dealing with to begin with. So maybe we should just let them go away, and that would be okay with us. Of course, we're not in favor of a PSOA to begin with, and we're hoping to do everything we can to avoid that. We consider that basically to be death. With an average demographic at our station of 65 years of age, if a PSOA comes in for 8 years, there's going to be nothing to take back at that time. We've looked at 38 strategic plans from other radio stations in similar situations where they're trying to turn themselves around, and almost inevitably a PSOA or an LMA, as it's called sometimes, is a death sentence. It's a prelude to a sale. You don't come back. You don't get it back. It's a one-way street. We want to avoid going down that street at any cost. We realize if we get there, we may have to go down the street, but we want to try and avoid it at all costs. I was listening to Angela Davis. We had a program on from the archives, which we should all make more use of, I think. She said, how dare we, what were her exact words, how dare we be defeatist? We dare not be defeatist. We have to fix this. We have to move it. We have turned a corner at BAI. We have reduced our rent from $600,000 a year to $60,000 a year with the help of our wonderful landlord at a radical space at the Commons in Brooklyn, where we are housed with Families United for racial and economic equality, the independent newspaper, Right to the City, the Brecht Forum, among others. We've done the move on our own. We did use some professional movers, but we did most of the move on our own. We've fixed our storage problem. We're catching up on our premiums. We're turning a corner. All we need is one more chance. Hopefully we can resolve our fundraising problem and move ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Jewel has been asked to be taken off the list, so I'm sorry. The next speaker is Alex Steinberg, followed by Bob Laris. And I see Alex is sort of in the middle there, so he'll have to make his way to the outside.
Hello, members of the 2004 National Board.
14.
14. What did I say? That's me living in the past. What can I say? I was a member of this board until 2012, and a member of the National Finance Committee, and I just want to make a few remarks about what I see as two competing visions of the Pacifica Foundation that I think underlie many of the much of the contention here. One is a vision of a nationwide network that can impact the dialogue and politics of the culture among the 316 million people in this country. The other is kind of like an umbrella organization for several loosely affiliated radio stations, each targeting a relatively small constituency of committed activists. I think we have to ask, what are the implications of these two competing visions? And then we have to ask, is there a possibility of somehow reconciling those two competing visions into some kind of a unified vision? And I'm not sure I have the answers to that, but I can tell you what some of the implications are. First thing, financially, the finances of each station under the model of a loosely affiliated organization are viewed as completely separate, and each station is sort of made to do or die on its own. That's one vision. The other vision is we're all part of a network, and resources are pooled together to make this network work, and that means when some departments of the network are in trouble, they're assisted in other more prosperous parts of the network. That model was the one that Pacifica was working on more or less for the last 20 years, maybe longer. What happened was the finances of Pacifica as a whole began to deteriorate starting around 2005, 2006, forget the exact year, and then began a game of finger-pointing as to which part of the network is draining the network. So therefore, you had representatives from stations who had no rent to pay because they were very fortunate to own their own buildings and had insignificant, if any, transmitter fees to pay. Looking at the other station, one station in the network in particular that had very large rent to pay and incredible transmitter fees to the tune of $60,000 a month for the Empire State Building, he said, that's the guy. They're the ones to blame. Instead of trying to approach it as a network-wide issue and trying to see what is it not only about this station but about the network as a whole that can be changed in order to get into a mode not only of survival but of beginning to thrive, of adapting to the new technology, which unfortunately Pacifica has all but ignored. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Bob Larris followed by Mitchell Cohen.
That's Bob Levis.
Legis?
Levis.
Levis. I'm Levi. Very sorry. It looked like
that's
an R
okay.
to me.
Okay. Yeah, I've been in the media for over 50 years now.
You have to get a little closer.
I started at NBC in 1963, so I've worked in commercial broadcasting. And the one thing that Pacifica needs to understand, and I think you all do, is that listener-based is completely different. And as Alex was just saying, that we come together when we need help from each other. And in this case, Pacifica is squandering a real opportunity. In New York, we have 72% of the people voted for a progressive future of our city. And I think that what we really need to do is reach out to each station and have a common bond so that when we're looking to produce original programming, that's what brings people in. It brings them in commercial, and it brings them in and listener-supported. But I also want to say that as a producer, I want you to understand that producers need some help, too. And help would be a 13-episode contract so that if we're going to go out and produce a show, that we know that we have a chance to build it. And it's quite simple. I have a one-page statement that I'll leave out there. I won't bother to read it right now. But I will be making a formal proposal to the board on a program that I will not do if I don't have a commitment for 13 episodes to build it. But thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Why don't you leave them right there? Do you have them? Put them right on the table, that little table right there. Thank you. Mitchell Cohen, followed by Bob Lederer.
Thank you. My name is Mitchell Cohen. I am the former chair of the WBAI local station board from 2008 through 2012. And I always thought LMA was a character in the Beverly Hillbillies. So just learning anew that it's talking about leasing out our station.
Please stop. I'm asking the board members to come to order and listen to the speaker. Excuse me, Mitchell.
Sure.
Go ahead.
So I'd like to thank especially everybody who came here from both PFW and from WBAI. From BAI, we came down on our own dime. Some of the people are connected with the Community Advisory Board. So I'd like all the people from BAI to please stand so people could see who you are. Please. These are folks who are actually doing the work at the station, sending out the premiums as volunteers, making it turn the corner, as Jim Sagerton said earlier. And we're trying to, and we are succeeding in saving the station, and I think that should be the primary responsibility of the PNB as well as us lowly volunteers. I am encouraged to report that we are doing so. BAI, the antenna has a potential on top of the Empire State Building, as expensive as it is, of reaching 18 million people as potential. But right now, it reaches, we have a listenership of $135,000 people per week, which is more than I actually thought it was. But that means that 17,800,000 people never heard of us. And that's a huge opportunity, not this defeatism. Somebody talked about Angela Davis thing. This defeatism is totally uncalled for. It's an opportunity that we could utilize to succeed. I passed along a report that I wrote on preliminary considerations on what WBAI is currently doing and needs to improve to achieve sustainability. And I'll just read the conclusion of it. So even without improving programming, which I have not touched on in this report, WBAI right now has begun the process of multiplying sources of funding that will lead, as conservative estimate, to an increase of revenue by around $120,000 per month by the end of this year. Please keep in mind that I've omitted here sources that may not work out, or that have not yet worked out. I've only included those that are already in motion right now, and that we need the time. We need 6 months about to get this going properly. Consideration of any leasing or sale proposals are not only, in my view, anathema to Pacifica's mission philosophically, but at this time are extremely unwise financially. Pacifica should, in my view, announce that it's putting off all consideration of leasing or sale of the station for 8 months and reassess the benchmarks pointed to in this report on a quarterly basis. And then we'll decide whether we're moving in the right direction or not. So I'd like a commitment from the board to, in public and stated, that it's putting off any consideration of the sale or leasing of WBAI for at least 6 months. And I hope that this board will do that.
Thank you. Bob Lederer is followed by William Herwagen.
Good afternoon. My name is Bob Lederer. I'm a staff representative on the WBAI local station board and a former member of this Pacifica National Board. And welcome to the new members of the PNB. I want to talk about two things which some previous speakers have already addressed in a little bit more detail. The first is the question before you about leasing WBAI, and the second is the more general problem of excessive secrecy by this board and some of the committees and local boards. The question before you about what is the future of WBAI is the most important issue perhaps that you will deal with in this meeting or in any meeting this year, because a decision to lease out the station is potentially disastrous for maintaining the mission that has been so well upheld for the past 54 years of serving diverse communities that don't have a voice or have a very distorted voice in corporate media, and in really projecting a platform for the arts of again, a very diverse form of arts, and to have debate about the most current issues that are life and death for many communities. I think there's plenty of examples that have been given to this board and the previous board of alternative ways of sustaining it, sustaining the station financially, so that you don't have to resort to losing control of decision making for perhaps 3, 5, 8, 10 years, whatever the proposal may call for. So that's the most important thing, is about maintaining the support and the decision-making within the Pacifica Foundation. But the second issue, which is really true of this matter, and it's true more generally, is there is an excessive penchant for secrecy. And as the most really outrageous example is when the interim executive director came to our LSB a couple of months ago and briefed us in confidential session. We asked her, and I can say this openly because it was discussed in the public session that followed, so I'm not revealing anything. We asked if she would reveal simply tell us in public the names of all the applicants who have said we would like to have a lease agreement with WBAI, and she refused. And to me, this is the total contrary of the spirit of Pacifica in general, but also those who may recall from 15 years ago when there was a gigantic nationwide struggle to reclaim the network from the neoliberal forces who were trying to take it in a totally opposite direction from the mission. One of the big issues in that struggle was secrecy. And so the bylaws were written to be in conformity also, by the way, with Corporation Public Broadcasting, that only matters that absolutely require confidentiality should be done behind closed doors. And that has been abused over and over again. This is the latest example. But I would submit it's not simply enough to reveal the names of those who've applied, but also what are the outlines of their proposal. They really have to share this most vital decision with in the future of this station with the whole community, so we can have input and say what we think about should it be leased, if so, to whom, and under what terms.
Before William starts speaking, I just want to remind people that if they have questions about LMAs or PSOAs that they want the attorney to respond to, they should put them in writing and get them to her while we're having this conversation. Thank you very much. William Herwagen, followed by Lewis Wolf.
Hello, William Herwagen. I'm also a listener rep on the WBAI LSB. And I want to talk to the board for a minute. You all had a dispute this morning, and anybody else that was here this morning might have seen it or heard it, about an election. I got the latest updated version of voting methods, and the only thing that was changed in December 1, 2011, it's marked, says in relation to instant runoff voting, in any phase of evaluating IRV results, in the event of a tie, the next tier of choices are evaluated until the tie is resolved. Parentheses. If tied on first place votes, add up the second choice votes, and so on. If this does not resolve the tie, the winner will be selected by lot, another parentheses, flipping a coin or other agreed upon method of chance. Somebody voted. If they put the wrong number on, instead of a number two, they put a different number, it's still another vote, and you just go on and count it. So that's the end of that one. Now, the East Coast is under attack in Pacifica. BAI, it started. Somebody from PFW yesterday, I think the name was Tesfa, if that's correct. He said something strange started happening 4 or 5 years ago. And yes, we in New York, we call that the coup, the April Fool's Day coup in New York. And that's when at least 8, some people have higher numbers, people of color were fired, replaced by other people of color, which, they actually won, Pacifica won with the help of this anti-union law firm, Bernard White's case, that said, well, he was replaced by somebody black, so how could it be discrimination? You put it, we've got, in New York, it happened, we got an IGM, we got an IPD, in fact, and we had that IPD for 3 years, and it's the same IPD that's here now, and they destroyed the local programming in New York, and now they're destroying the local programming here, and I think when you mention, and some people have, but not consistently, the program director or the general manager, make sure you use the I or the interim to remind you that you do need to go to the processes that Ola talked about. We need to have not nationally appointed things, just one person picking somebody, or maybe a little cabal of people picking somebody. We need to follow the bylaws. And then I wanted to talk about something else. Where is it? Well, I'll talk about the Spanish language programming since my notes are sloppy. When last time Rodrigo Argueta, a member here, was on the board, we passed a motion, or they passed a motion.
Oops.
Spanish language programming news, 1 hour, every station was mandated. It hasn't happened.
Thank you. I want to let people know who have come in since the sign-up sheet was moved to the front table, that if you want to be on the speakers list, you can send me a note or come up here and sign up. The list is not closed. Lewis Wolf, followed by Ellen Campbell.
I want to welcome the PNB to Washington. This is the belly of the monster. Our station has been located within walking distance from the White House since its inception until the previous manager, John Hughes, decided to move us together with some of the board members, local station board members, in secrecy to a location in Silver Spring, Maryland. For the first time in 36 years, out of D.C., we fought that and we successfully blocked that move. My points today are this. Number one, I was surprised and a little bit wondering why Michelle Price and Tony Bates, our interim program, interim general manager and interim program director, were not present during the proceedings until today. And Tony Bates, unless I'm mistaken, is still not here.
He's here.
I'm sorry, I didn't see him then. Number two, our station, as was mentioned earlier, went dark. That is off the air, silence, for 8 days, from December 22nd to 31st. It was said that it was done because a cable was cut under the station by Verizon. We don't know the facts of the case, but I should point out that that's a total violation of the FCC rules. And if there's no other station in our city, or I would venture to say anywhere else, which goes off the air for 8 days without some sanction by the FCC. We've still not received a report from our directors on this. Third one is, we want to know, is John Hughes still being paid as our manager? And if so, why? And if so, how much? He refused to disclose his salary the whole time he was here. He said that was secret. And I want an answer to that today, please. We're told today that by our interim general manager that they're looking for a new space. We want to know, is that space in D.C.? If not, we will have to reject that because we don't want to be moved out of D.C. ever. And my last point would be this, in regard to Tony Norman. Mr. Norman, I understand today, I learned for the first time, that you actually, in the form that you filled out when you applied to run for the position, you lied. You said there's space on there, and you checked no as to whether you're an elected official. Apparently, that's not the truth. And so that alone should bar you from this position. Thank you.
Ellen Campbell, followed by Ellen Campbell, followed by Tony Leon.
Okay, I'm from Baltimore, and I've heard there's supposed to be a Baltimore meeting, town hall meeting. It needs to be in Baltimore City and not in the burbs, so that more people can get to it. And you need to have special programming on the website when, and by that I mean when there's like a holiday or something, and the regular programming is interrupted. It needs to be on the website so we know, you know, what we're going to hear. And there needs to be more transparency in operations. You know, what is this, some secret society? Because that's how y'all been acting. Let's see. Oh, these things aren't supposed to be talked about out of the office? Well, why not? Because that way we'll know what's going on. That's why. You know, there should be nothing that can't be brought up over the air. You know, and that, now what is it with the premiums? You know, I still am waiting for a premium from October. And, you know, it's been 4 months and I don't get anything. There's nobody in the office when I call. You know, if you want us to support you financially, then you need to get the premiums out in a timely manner. You know, last year, mine took 2 months, which would have been just fine, except that the woman told me it would arrive after 1 month. And let's see. Yes, and I'm not giving you another penny until I get my premium. And some of your attitudes are like grumpy cat. I've heard your opinion, and I still don't care. You know? If Lou Hill were here and he knew what was going on, still here, and knew what was going on with Pacifica, he'd commit suicide all over again. You know?
That's bad.
Oh, and I'm listening to Gary Null on the Progressive Radio Network and doing something else at 3 o'clock. We're mad as hell, and we're not taking it anymore.
Tony Leone, followed by Joe Brown.
Thank you. First, I'd like to extend a welcome to listeners that are here in Washington, from New York, from California, and from Texas. This statement is about a strategy that's being employed by the interim general manager at WPFW. She has a commercial radio background, and this is a commercial radio strategy. It has no place in community radio. The strategy I'm speaking of is rebranding. Branding is a process of using symbols to communicate the qualities of a particular There we go. Okay. Thank you. If you can give me 3 seconds before you start the clock there. Branding is a process of using symbols to communicate the qualities of a particular product made by a particular producer. It also signals uniformity so customers who like the product can return to it by remembering its name. It also characterizes a product and distinguishes it from another. Proactive rebranding occurs for 5 reasons. One, an organization decides to change a significant element of the brand. The change could be obvious or subtle. It can also be risky because sometimes the consumers get confused. Second reason, predicted growth. Third reason, entering into a new market that isn't cohesive to the existing brand. Fourth reason, appealing to a new audience. Fifth reason is losing relevancy. Reactive reasons include mergers, legal issues, competition, and negative publicity. So what's the reason? The declared change involves dropping the WPFW and replacing it with 89.3, using the rationale of it makes the station easier to find. The current logo contains WPFW and 89.3, both equally sized, with a graphic visual of a trumpet sprouting an olive branch, the metaphor for peace. The change is puzzling since it doesn't guarantee an increase in awareness of the station. WPFW, which stands for Pacifica Foundation Washington, is also known as the People's Station, the Jazz and Justice Station, the Mighty Messenger, Positive, Powerful, and Progressive, to name a few. All of these names clearly distinguish it from its contemporaries up and down the dial. Since it went on the air in 1977, WPFW has been recognized for providing jazz, Latin jazz, blues, old school, world music, public affairs programming work, work mainly done by the local community. So what has changed to cause this measure? Changes in programming and brand have the potential of dismissing existing listener equity and communicating contempt for the institution, its loyal audience, which previously stood at about 150,000. With the process of gentrification happening in this city, this is surely going to send the message that WPFW has joined that bandwagon.
Excuse me, your time is up. Thank you.
The people and the leaders walk hand in hand. The people and the leaders walk hand in hand.
Thank you. Okay.
Madam Chair, I'm switching with Angela Mitchell. We're just switching.
I got it. Okay. So Angela Mitchell was next. Joe Brown is switching. Got it. Go ahead, Angela.
Good afternoon, and again, welcome. I'm Angela Mitchell. And I had prepared remarks for this particular segment in community comment, and because of the reports that I heard, I had to say something else. This is the third amount of money that has been announced to WPFW as to how much money was raised. Started at $400,000. That was a written report. And then it was reported by the interim general manager in the LSB meeting, $163,000, several hundred thousand lower. And now we have a new amount that's even lower than that. We have got to have financial transparency and awareness at WPFW. One of the previous speakers says we don't know how much is going out monthly to John Hughes. That is absolutely unacceptable. How can you pay somebody that we've asked you to remove and then not tell us how much money is coming out of our budget? We also moved to a location that is well known as the high rent district here in Washington, D.C. There has to be thousands of dollars more than we were paying on Chapin Street, on Chaplin Street. Who knows how much more? You know why? Because nobody's telling us anything about the money. Not at the LSB meetings, not in the blog, not on the air, nothing. And yet, as a listener for many years, I remember hearing people say we made our goal. Well, if we made our goal, what was the total goal? How do we know? And if it was made, then how are we losing so much money? We need to have full financial disclosure about the collected monies, how much we are asking for in our fund drives, and what is the real financial health of the radio station. We hear rumors that large amounts of money are being siphoned off by Pacifica Foundation itself. How do we know? We hear nothing. We're not answered in these community comment segments at all. I'm going to concede the rest of my time to Mr. Brown. Thank you.
Okay, so now we have, excuse me, we have...
30 seconds for her time.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to hear from Joe Brown, followed by Brenda.
Good afternoon. I'm Joe Brown, WPFW 89.3. I'm concerned that WPFW and BAI are being undermined. We are Jazz and Justice, The Messenger, WPFW 89.3, and we are very proud of our radio station. Unlike the Washington football team, we don't need another logo or a name change like they do. The Pacifica National Board needs to respect and carry out the mission statement of Pacifica, put out by Lou Hill. Who else on the FM airwaves will talk about anti-war, the environment, the death penalty, racism, union workers, and the poor and working class? And I could, of course, add many, many things to that, etc. WPFW, for 36 years, has an illustrious history of airing great hosts. Some of them are in the room right now, but some of them are not here with us. Thanks to Ambrose Lane for We Ourselves, Dorothy Healy, Damu Smith, Dr. Jesse McDade Bay, Tom Porter, A.C. Byrd, J. Winter Nightwolf, Joni Eisenberg, Clarence Lusane, Eskia Muhammad, and once again, I could go on and on and on. We, the listeners and financial supporters, are demanding that our community comment be restored, be re-aired, where we get to comment. And especially on Fridays when community comment gives us, we can present our news story of the week. And we need a local GM and a local program director. As good as the people are in place now, very smart, active people, but they're not from this area. Finally, we lost someone about 10 days ago. His name was Pete Seeger. And he was an illustrious man in our movement that sang some great music. And I'd like you all to join me right now in a moment for Pete Seeger in the song, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Young girls have picked them, everyone. Oh, when will we ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the young girls gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young girls gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young girls gone? Gone for husbands, everyone. Oh, when will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the husbands gone? Long time passing. Where have all the husbands gone? Long time ago. Where have all the husbands gone? Gone for soldiers, everyone. Oh, will they ever learn? Will they ever
learn? I was once at a Berkeley City Council meeting that was shut down by people singing We Shall Not Be Moved. It was really fun. Okay. Brenda followed by Tej Graywall.
Hi, good afternoon. Okay, you can hear me. Brenda Medina here, KPFK Los Angeles, former PMB member, current vice chair of our local station board. Glad to sing that song. So a couple of things that I'm going to bring up today. First, I want to give you some demographic information of each of our signal areas in respect to Latinos and people who are English is not the first language spoken in their area. In Washington, D.C., you have 10% Latino, 50% people who speak another language other than English at their house. In Berkeley, the city of Berkeley, 10% Latino. In San Francisco County, neighboring Berkeley, 41.7% Latino, 45% who speak another language other than English. In Houston, 43.8% are Latino. 46.2% speak another language other than English. And in New York, we have 28.6% Latino, 48.7% speak another language than English. I'm not going to go into KPFK in particular because we already know more than half of the people in Los Angeles speak another language other than English. Well, at least I know. So then I want to discuss what is the average age of our different signal areas for our actual stations. For PFW, the average listener is over 55. That was a couple years ago, so it's probably closer to 60. At BAI, it is 66. KPFA is 62. KPFK, it's 65. Now, I'm not saying this to knock anyone, but I want us to face the facts. If we're looking at this network to survive, we must lower those ages, average ages. And the way to do that, thanks. The way to do that is not, that goes to my next point, is not to have an LMA for WBAI. That is a cop-out. of this board to try and lease off a station that has a listenership that's dying. And that's a cop-out because it can eventually go to other stations that are struggling, like PFW, and eventually go all throughout the network. That's troublesome. Then, my last point, because I only have 30 seconds left, is who... I was looking at the Arbitrons, and I know Arbitrons are very problematic. But I did look at the section related to Hispanic listeners. And it said that English-dominant listeners, or English-dominant Latinos, are listening to Spanish news. They tend to be the highest of their income bracket among other Latinos who are listening to the radio. So we have to keep that in mind on who are we trying to reach out to in these areas. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Tej Graywall, followed by Tony Coleman. Go ahead, Tej.
Jay Beam, buenos tardes and good afternoon. My name is Tej Graywall, and I'm chair of the KPFK Local Station Board. And this is to the Pacifica National Board. I'm also a producer with Saturday Pan-African Program Freedom Now. And this is from the staff of Freedom Now and KPFK Black and Progressive Activists. Regarding audience sustainability and building of people of color communities. We request to the Pacifica Foundation a formal grievance investigation in the disempowerment of African programming at KPFK. For example, today, Black Strip programming, which occurs every Saturday from 12 to 6 p.m., covers public affairs from the U.S. to Africa, and African music is preempted. It is replaced by a 16-hour Grateful Dead marathon. This, during Black History Month, this is consistent for years. From the perspective of audience sustainability and expansion of the Black listenership, this is a contradiction which leads to destroying the Black listenership. Didon Kamati, a producer for Freedom Now, having as a journalist for the Free Press attended Grateful Dead concerts, knows that the Black attendance is less than 1%. Why not have the Grateful Dead marathon during the rock and folk programming slots? If KPFK wanted to do a marathon that black programming time slot, why not continental African music or Bob Marley or Tupac, John Coltrane, and or a marathon of civil rights or Black Power movements, etc. It is a no-brainer. Capitalist corporate America contours their products to the ethnic, gender, and class reality of their targeted markets. Why not KPFK? There is a need for more people of color who are not intimidated by staff and management for fear of losing their jobs to aggressively promote their respective people of color communities at decision-making levels. We ask for racial justice at KPFK so that we can sustain and expand our listenership in all of the diverse communities that make us Southern California. For the last 15 seconds, I'd like a moment of silence for all of these heroes, indigenous and oppressed peoples. Thank you.
Thank you, Tej. Tony Coleman, followed by Jane Gatewood.
Good evening. This is for the FCC lawyer.
You got to speak directly into the mic.
Okay, sorry.
Thank you.
Does the original charter by Lewis Hill state that the Pacifica be a nonprofit organization? If so, does the license of WPFW at the FCC state that it is a nonprofit organization? And does this And if so, does the FCC enforce this? thus nullifying any attempt to privatize WPFW. Other concern. I agree with the people here. Democracy, it flourishes when the citizenry are informed and knowledgeable. In other words, transparent and open organizations flourish best. Pacifica and certainly WPFW is a nonprofit organization. They function best when the people are informed and can make their decisions. The democracy does the same. That's my point. We have to have an open organization, transparency, numbers like NASA. People here in Washington know about NASA. It is the most respected organization in the government. Why? Because their information, their work is in the public for all to see. It is trusted. It has the highest integrity. That should be here at Pacifica and at WPFW. Why not?
Thank you. Jane Gatewood, followed by Gary, I'm sorry, is it Vasquette? I can't read your last name. Okay, thank you.
Hey, good
afternoon. Go ahead, Jane.
Good afternoon. Once again, thank you, yeah. Can you hear me now?
It's better. Thank you.
Once again, actions by past and present Pacifica management, both local and national, have done harm to WPFW Station, its members, and its community. And it's very critical that the PNB take actions this weekend to begin to return to correct that harm that's been done. With all due respect to both Summer and Michelle, and I mean that, restoring financial stability to WPFW, it was never rocket science. Last January, what should have happened was our former general manager should have been removed, but walking in the door, all you had to do was restore the grid as much as feasible. There's small things that couldn't be done or some improvements could be made. People would have understood, and mount a massive PR campaign. The messenger is back. That's what the community is waiting to hear. The community is waiting to hear the messenger is back. And then begin working hand in hand with our incredible volunteer base to start tackling the longstanding problems we've had with our development department and our technical infrastructure. I became an active volunteer over 10 years ago with WPFW, and at that time, really, we weren't at our peak anymore, but things were running along pretty well, and it's been going steadily downhill since then. This is a WPFW mission. I've asked a lot of people, who was involved with the process that came up with this mission? Because I think it's incredible. But I want to call your attention to the bottom line here. The last phrases of the WPFW mission says, internally, WPFW will work to upgrade the quality of work at all levels. Our continued use of and high regard for volunteers will provide opportunity for individual skill development in broadcasting techniques and broadcast management. Volunteer opportunities will be available in most areas of program administration. I firmly believe that the process that was started when they developed this mission statement, whenever it was, 30 years ago or 37, I don't know, that was the foundation that the incredible station came out of. And go back to the mission. They're all powerful words, every word in here. So I'd like to wrap up with a question for Michelle, and this is a rhetorical question. And not rhetorical. I would like, actually, for you to think about this and get back with the community on this. In your response to Maskela exercising her free speech at Westminster, you preface your remarks with the words, "We will not negotiate." Now, in my opinion, negotiation is an incredible leadership skill. So my question is, what needs to happen? What do Tom Porter and Jared Ball need to agree to in order for them to be brought back to the airwaves?
Gary
Vagnetti.
Hold on one second. I'm sorry. What is it?
Gary Vagnetti.
Vagnetti. Okay. Gary Vagnetti followed by Vanessa Dixon. Go ahead, Gary.
Hello, every one of you. Washington, D.C. has been my home since 1970. I've been a member, supporter, subscriber, paying member of WPFW since 1980. A lot of people in the country do not know, and maybe some of you are among them, do not know that Washington, D.C. is a colony. We pay the highest, if not the highest, the second or third highest rate of taxes in the country, higher than your states. However, we citizens do not have any control over that money. We can put a referendum on the ballot, as we did in 1993, and some congressman, maybe from South Carolina, maybe from Arizona, can say, no, you do not have the permission to count those votes. That's what happened to us. It wasn't until Barack Obama had the Congress that we were allowed to count the votes. We're a colony. Now, I'm not in an inner circle or a second circle. I'm just a guy that sends money every year for 30 years. Where does the money go? I understand now that I've talked to our concerned supporters board and our local board. They don't even know where the money goes. How are we not just another colony as WPFW listeners? I would like it that my local board can see every bit of the financials, every bit of it, and pass that information on to us. A lot of other people have spoken to that. One other thing here. I don't know the details, but I know that there's money from CPP that we aren't getting. And I understand we aren't getting it because of inefficiencies or incompetence, something with you guys on the national board. How can you ask me to send money when you're leaving money on the table? How can you do that? I don't understand it. I agree with a lot of other people that we need our local management from this community, not outsiders. We don't need the grid changed by outsiders. We need the grid to respond to us. We liked the grid that we had. This rebranding business, it doesn't make sense because the new people that are coming and changing the ethnography of D.C. are young, wealthy people who are not going to be listening to WPFW. That is not who you should be marketing to. Somebody else yesterday pointed out the ancient 20th century technology you're immersed in. Why don't we have two or three digital channels? Then you could have a snake oil salesman like Gary Knoll 24/7 if you wanted.
Please finish your sentence.
And I am not a terrorist.
Vanessa Dixon, followed by Rastafik Weyonsi. Did I say that right? He left. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, then the next person after Vanessa will be Star Bowie. Okay, go ahead, Vanessa.
Can I ask before I start, who's the timekeeper? If you could give me a one-minute mark, just let me know when I'm 1 minute out.
Can you see this display from where you're standing?
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm Vanessa Dixon-Briggs, member of the WPFW Local Station Board, and I want to talk about local autonomy in terms of the treatment of programmers and staff, finances, and the grid, actually, who changed it. It's remarkable to me that the gentleman who preceded me, both of us are going to be talking about colonialism. It's as though we conferred with each other. PFW is in Washington, as you know. And an unfortunate aspect of life in D.C. is a paternalistic relationship with Congress that controls D.C. budgets, D.C.'s budget, and interferes in other important aspects of the lives of Washingtonians. This is analogous to me to the relationship between PFW and Pacifica. It's like the colonial relationship between D.C. and Congress, but even more so. It seems that PFW is like the sharecropper, and Pacifica is like the landed gentry. For example, the suspension of programmers and the termination of staff under really highly questionable circumstances. The programmers and staff seem to have been dealt with quite unfairly by interim management, assigned to PFW by Pacifica, and Pacifica has the right to assign interim management, but that interim management must treat programmers and paid staff fairly. Now, I do want to say, I've asked others to give the interim management, Michelle Price and Tony Bates, a chance because, in particular, the great job that I was told by someone I trust that Michelle did when she came to D.C. on the relocation, because there is distrust by people assigned to PFW by Pacifica because of destructive actions that have taken place in the past. So it's asking a lot to ask people in the D.C. community to give them a chance. Some LSB members have tried to schedule a meeting with Michelle about these programmers and staff issues. That meeting has not yet taken place. I'd like to talk to her before I form a final judgment. I'm trying to keep the faith, but it's really difficult. Another example of PFW as sharecropper and Pacifica as gentry is the finances, which a lot of people have talked about. It's reported that Pacifica is taking away PFW's money while claiming that PFW is in the red. That act is the essence of sharecroppery, cheating an entity out of the money that they worked hard to earn on their own. And the last issue is who changed PFW's grid. John Hughes finally meekly said, after he took a lot of heat for it, it was a riot. It split the LSB, brought the community up, that, hey, Summer Reese told me to do it. And then some other people are increasingly saying, Summer Reese told me to do it. I want to say, if it is true that Summer Reese told him to do that, not knowing D.C.'s market at all, then she allowed him to take the hit for that. Now, there was some other stuff he did, too, but if she allowed him to take the hit for that, that is wrong.
Star Bowie followed by Jabari Zakia.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. I want to speak about local concerns about what the station is facing in terms of relocation plans for the future. But first, based on some things that have come up so far, I want to say that this whole issue of the demographic in Washington changing is a little bit of a red herring, because the reality is that the African American and other people, Latinos, who are being shoved out of the city by gentrification are not leaving, you know, for Montana. I mean, they're all they're within the metropolitan area. It's you know, essentially well within the listening area, and the programming that is being done is not going to be appealing to this white demographic. A lot of the young people who are coming here because they basically hear that there are jobs here if they're middle class. They're coming from areas where they know there's a crisis. And if you understand the dynamics of any economic or political situation, the dynamics, things are going to be changing for those white people. They are going to be looking for answers, and they are not going to be getting them by the kind of programming we are getting. A two-hour program on Wednesday morning, and the drive time error time slot is being given to Mark Levine. Mark Levine is Zionist lobby. He defended the bombing of Gaza. And every chance he gets on the shows that he has shared, coasting of responsibilities with whenever Israel is in trouble in the media, Mark Levine, bang, 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 is knocking out his points no matter what the subject is. And we have had people like Tom Porter who would interview people like Samir Amin and others taken off the air. There's an ideological component that has nothing to do with the finances of the situation. Okay, on to relocation. Oh, and please look up Michelle's statement. It's still online, WPFWConnect.com. Just fascist. The plan that we are told we're facing at the November LSB announced by Michelle Price is that she wants to move us into a high-rise studio. And she wants to do it quickly because conditions are so bad at the studio. That's why at the present conditions at the studio, which they are, and that's why you were given a tour last night in order to, you know, give you the sense of urgency that we just have to move right away. What she's not pointing out is that to move us into a high-rise, it's usually going to be owned by one of these conglomerates. We just narrowly averted a disaster, a lease that was signed behind our backs by the Pacifica majority with Clear Channel. to move us into one of their facilities where they would have controlled our internet access and could have possibly manipulated getting our license if we fell behind on our rent. And Pacifica is known to be in financial fragile condition. What Michelle, if somebody said she had a commercial history, she doesn't just have a commercial history. She does turnover work. She is working only 3 days a week here for $70,000. She's a turnover agent for all of these right-wing conglomerates. Cumulus, which just signed Limbaugh last August to a three-year contract.
Please finish your sentence.
Westward One. She works for that kind of outfit, and whoever hired a person like that and put him in charge of this station, you have no faith in revolution.
Please.
Because if you had any faith, we know your name.
Thank you. Jabari followed by Jay Winter Nightwolf.
First, my name is Jabari Zakia. I was on the Interim Pacifica National Board from 2000 to 2003. I was the treasurer. First of all, I heard the PNB on stream from 12 to 1 when they had the elections, and I just got to tell you, I was very disillusioned and disheartened that you couldn't hold a simple election. I want to speak about the network, and I want to talk to you all as PNB members, because you all supposedly supposed to know you control and own and are responsible for this network and everything in this network. And I want to talk to the listeners who are listening to this or who can listen to it later, because it is really not that hard to run a network if you want to run the network. First of all, I'm going to give you five things that I think, major areas of organizational operations that the network and all the stations should be structured around. First one, the first one is financing, and that's all aspects of financing, from fundraising to distribution to allocation to cost oversight and everything, and investments. There needs to be a strong financial component throughout the whole network, structured, and a team of people working, talking to each other from the top on down, so there are no gotchas that fall through the system. Second, programming. There should be a strong component where there is a consensus of procedures and best practices that will be utilized through the network and so forth. Third, technology. This is a technology-driven business, and none of you probably know anything about technology and how you're going to do it. DC has been off the air five times, I think. DC went off the air for some time last year in 2013. Okay. And I have a master's degree in electrical engineering, worked 15 years at NASA, so I know if you want to do something, you can do it. Fourth, outreach and marketing. You need to have a person, department, concentration throughout the network and through the stations on outreach and network, growing your listenership, and outreach and doing the connection and doing your advertising and marketing to build up that network, which will bring in the finance. And finally, the fifth major area is governance and legal. Governance and legal. That has to do with your listeners, the LSB, all the legal issues, all these things. These are the five areas that need people with skills in these five areas need to be brought onto the board. Everybody who doesn't have any skills in these areas needs to get off the board. You serve no purpose if you can't facilitate and understand these questions that come up in these areas. And it's not that hard. I presented to Greg Guma a paper on how to do it. If anybody wants to see it, just talk to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Jay Winter Nightwolf, followed by Pete Tucker.
I'm Jay Winter Nightwolf. I think all of you know me. I'm a programmer on WPFW. I am also the first Native American to serve on the Progressive Democrats of America's board. And other things. I'm looking at WPFW and Pacifica and the situation that it finds itself in does not make me very happy at all. Only Native American broadcasts out here. 13 years. this fool that was the former general manager, Johnny Boy Hughes, moved me from a prime spot, 7 o'clock Friday nights, where my people all over this country could hear us, to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. However, still we rise. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I have broadcast my show from the National Museum of the American Indian over the last 2 months, 4 times. I have an open door to go there anytime I want to broadcast from the National Museum of the American Indian. I'll keep the 1 o'clock. But what about another hour? 13 years and all this money that I've raised for WPFW, and I can't get the consideration of a second hour, 2 hours out of a week to speak for my people, upon whose land that we never ceded, you sit on. Need I bring my brothers and sisters from the American Indian movement here and show you that we mean business? That's not a threat. I'm a terrorist. No, I'm not. But I want to tell you something. We're not taking any more of this. This is wrong, and everybody in this room knows that it's wrong. Anybody that's ever listened to my radio show, I am inclusive of all four colors of humanity, red, black, white, and yellow. And anybody says not, we'll go outside and settle that score. But what I'm simply saying to you, Pacifica National Board, you all need to be a little more understanding of humanity. Take your minds off of these things that you do with the money. Correct that. WPFW is the diamond in the Pacifica Network. You're sitting right here in the belly of the beast. Can I have somebody's time? Who want to give me some time? Anyway, thank you.
Who is that?
And her. I got 6 minutes. Thank you. Listen.
I have to take them off the list. I just need to know their names. Ajwa. Uh-huh.
Thank you, Ajwa. And who else was it? Are you on the list?
No.
Okay, fine.
3 minutes.
Folks, wake up. Grandmother Earth is talking to us. Where do you think this weather change is coming from? Folks, wake up. All of this crookedness that I have seen over the years on the local LSB, you need to be about correcting that. How can a D.C. elected official, according to the bylaws of Pacifica, serve? Something's wrong with that picture. If you don't want to correct it, at least look into it and let us know that you got a good intention. This is the 25th anniversary of the National Museum of the American Indian this year. We, and I say we because they've asked me to work with them on it, we have a lot of big things that are going to happen here in Washington, D.C. It's going to involve not just Native America, but my Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters that also are Native American people. It's going to be a big festivity there. WPFW and Pacifica needs to pay more attention to us. We were here first. We gave blood. Our women were raped. Genocide was committed against us by the European invaders over and over and over again. And still today, this Wednesday coming, I will be speaking up for the Maryland University Native American Student Union. They have blatantly discriminated against our children, and I will be personally filing a lawsuit against Maryland University based on discrimination against Native Americans. 10 years of my life I spent as an EEO investigator for the federal government as an outside contractor, so I know the laws of discrimination and civil rights violations. I had several chances where I could have done something against WPFW, but I didn't do that because I have the faith that maybe you'll wake up and understand what's going on. We need to stop fighting each other and start talking to each other instead of at each other and get busy and get something done, damn it. Do you know how much time we lose and money we lose fighting and arguing? We need to stop this. So I hope the ears of Pacifica are open today and are listening to this Native American brother. Please, we need to start doing some things that are a little more positive, and we need to bring back or think about bringing back Tom Porter and Jared Ball.
Thank you. Let me say there are four more people on the list, and then Melody Virtue, the FCC lawyer, will respond to the one question she's received. If there's anybody out there who has more questions, bring them up now, because this is your chance. Okay, so Pete Tucker, followed by Donna Grimes.
Good evening. Welcome. Thanks for your service. Welcome to Washington, D.C. I wanted to discuss what a number of us from WPFW have already mentioned, and that is concern about documentation regarding the CPB money, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And I serve on the Finance Committee on the WPFW Local Station Board, and I'm still confused. Roughly, here's what I understand, that 19% of the money raised on air from each of the stations is transmitted to national, and roughly we raise $1 million. So we should be each year providing national with $190,000. And the non-discretionary part of the CPB money that we should be getting each year is roughly $160,000. But we haven't gotten a dime of that in 3 years. It's been stated by our chair and by other speakers. And why is this important? Because if you look at what happened before WBAI has been put on the chopping block, and hopefully that can be brought back as it's stabilized, and that cannot happen, but is that people say, well, it's draining the network, and therefore we've got to take these steps. And if you don't have to talk to two people in Pacifica before one of them will say, well, it's the East Coast stations that are actually bankrupting the network. And I oppose what's happening to WBAI, but it's totally unconscionable to even think that that is the same case that's happening to WPFW as far as the amount of money. On the one hand, you're documenting how much we owe, but you're not subtracting what you don't give to us, which is the same thing. And so it's a very questionable accounting practice. And I would just say four words. Put it in writing. We can do away with all this. You can't have romance before finance. And we can't be a part of Pacifica fully until we know objectively and in writing what's taking place. And I feel like we recently taken a step back from that when you had a CFO who I had a chance to work with briefly as a member of the Finance Committee, who seemed very objective and was on point, and all of a sudden, he's gone. And now it's just back to word-of-mouth kind of political statements, and we don't have anything in writing. And until we have in writing what's taking place, then there's going to be great skepticism, and rightfully so, from us here at WPFW. And we are deeply concerned in watching what's happening at WBAI, all that was prefaced with the same things that we're hearing about our station, and it's got to stop. If y'all are going to talk that way, put it in writing. But welcome to D.C., and I know you have a lot to deal with, and I look forward to working with you. Thank you very much.
So I have Donna Grimes, followed by Kimoni Freeman, and then the last speaker would be Melissa Enum. Enum, sorry. Go ahead, Donna.
Okay. Good evening. I'm a member, supporter, and contributor to WPFW. And these are my thoughts and thoughts of others that are also members of WPFW. It is imperative that WPFW's members be allowed to exercise their rights and responsibilities now more than ever. Right now, reinforcing the mandate for jazz and justice is vital to our ability to accomplish the hard work of building the beloved community, where newcomers are welcomed and integrated into the community without evicting longtime residents, especially those who are poor, marginalized, and vulnerable. We must cultivate relationships with community groups, institutions, newspapers, and other potential allies. We must expand programming to include radio theater, substantive reviews of the arts, to allow platform for listener collectors who collect their own music, particularly music from the diaspora and other elements of culture that uplift the spirit. We want to use this valuable asset for community-based education and nonpartisan empowerment training. We want to refuse to be a mouthpiece for any political party. Rather, we want to teach people how to fish, to collaborate, to exercise their duties as citizens, to build, to nurture, and to critically examine. It is important that we incorporate a committed focus on news from the African diaspora, and this should be successes as well as struggles. It should include programming that supports the interests of Muslims, and the news should not be overly focused on doom and gloom. How are African people triumphing in their communities, winning over imperialism, and blooming where they find themselves? Our listeners are still hungry for health news, but it shouldn't always be tied to purchasing products, DVDs, professional consultations, etc. Health. And seventh point is we need to stop the continuous on-air fundraising. People will give when they receive what consistently feeds their hearts and minds. Thank you.
I apologize. I inadvertently skipped a speaker, and she was way back on the list. So I'm going to go back to her now, and then we'll have the two final speakers. Marion Douglas Ungaro. Yeah? Okay.
Thank you. Buenas tardes. Gracias. I don't know exactly how my name got scratched off. Seems kind of strange, but I'd like to welcome everyone here to Washington also. Bienvenidos. This is my hometown. I'm a member of the local station board here in D.C. I've been involved with WPFW off and on for the last 30 or so years. I'm also a journalist by training and experience, a broadcast journalist. I used to work at KUOM Public Radio at University of Minnesota back in the 1980s. I earned my FCC license to broadcast by exam in Philadelphia in 1974. And I aspired very much to be a journalist, and in particular doing international journalism. I've worked and lived internationally in France, in Latin America, Haiti, Nicaragua, Peru, working in human rights and elections. Also Bosnia, Kosovo, Croatia. Met my husband, who's a retired Italian diplomat. We met in Croatia. And I'm extremely concerned about the United States. We have some serious issues happening here, and Washington is a reflection of that. I'd just like to share with you, if you haven't heard, that the years 2015 to 2024 have been declared by the United Nations this past January as the International Decade for People of African Descent. And that includes those of us who are the product of the transatlantic slave trade. Whether we're here, Canada, Peru, Paraguay, Puerto Rico, Aruba, etc. Washington has been majority Black American for a very long time. And people are using this word gentrification. I have raised another issue based on my experience working in human rights missions with OSCE, Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, seconded by the U.S. State Department, and working for the OAS, Organization of American States, in Haiti, Peru, and Nicaragua. And the other evening at our special LSB meeting, I mentioned the term ethnic cleansing. And I said then that I was not using this gratuitously. We need demographic information. Everything seems to be going on a very casual basis. You do not reverse a population majority in this short a period of time without certain things going on that have to be accounted for. And interestingly enough, demographers have been very silent. I would like to share three items for you to read. First of all, I would ask that you all read the Kerner Commission report from 1968. We had riots here in Washington, as well as other parts of the U.S., and especially the part there about the role of the media in the problem and in solution to the problem. WPFW needs to remain a community station, and it has to reflect the Black American population here, as well as other folks who have come. And also, I would like to suggest that you read We Charge Genocide was a report taken to the United Nations in 1951. I'm just going to finish that up. Okay. 1951, and then it was shelved. I'm pretty sure the U.S. had a role in that. But those issues have never been addressed. And for Washington, we had lost 40,000 black Americans in a 10-year period, according to the U.S. Census.
I'm sorry, would you do us a favor?
Yes.
Would you send us the book recommendations by email?
All right.
No, she has two more.
No, that's all right.
Thank you. It's pmb@pacifica.org.
Will do.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Queen Esther.
Okay. Kamoni Freeman, followed by Melissa Enum. Enin. I'm sorry. Kamoni, with the darling child.
All right. Hello. my name is Kamoni Freeman. This is my son, Kepra. I'm glad to have the opportunity to speak here. I'm actually a co-founder of a small AM radio station called WEAC Radio. There's no competition for PFW. It was never intended to be. But I was trained at WPFW under the tutelage of Lou Hankins. I got a lot of my confidence in terms of telecommunications and chanting down Babylon at PFW. I welcome the opportunity that they have with taking young people off the street and exposing them to the programming and the content. That needs to continue and needs to be expanded upon. So when I was hearing about the infighting and the mutinies and everything, I was not dismayed by that. I mean, I don't like half my relatives, so the fighting is not a problem. You know, that's part of the territory. You know, everyone has had a job and people didn't get along, but work still yet got done. But it seems like now that it's more to it than that. You know, when we have high quality programs that are being lost. Not because of lack of support, not because of a lack of content, not because of a lack of relevancy, but because of infighting or this posturing or this seems to be moving to the right of the programming is very concerning and disheartening. Then I start to think that is this intentional? Do we have Asian provocateurs in our midst? I've actually heard in the halls of Congress that Amy Goodwin, my God, she needs to be taken off the air. I've actually heard that said. And this seems to be a fulfillment of that, of trying to make that happen. I don't think it's a coincidence that we see the NSA and the government overreaching and think for a minute that somehow some of this couldn't be intentional. And we've already heard someone doing someone else's dirty work and what have you. So that bears to repeat it. There's an agenda there. And it cannot be denied that it seemed to be a move into the right in terms of the politics and the content. So I think those is very concerning. And I think that it's no coincidence that being here in DC, that we are, somehow subjected to a higher level of scrutiny. That's my time, and I can give my last 40 seconds to whoever is deserving of that, but that's my 2 cents, and I thank y'all for listening.
Thank you.
Do something.
Melissa.
Hi, I wanted to actually save my public comment time for after you all discussed openly the LMA, and I'm very disappointed that you have not spoken about it today and that we all have to stay down here another night. And I have a question that I've asked the lawyer to address, because the the reason I came down here was, in fact, to hear what you all had to say about this issue. I do not support an LMA, but I want to understand from this board what would be the scenario that would cause us to have to move in that direction. What is, in fact, the worst-case scenario? I spent a lot of time over the last 2 months trying to understand the finances of both BAI and the network. And the audit that was done in 2012, where the auditor concluded that this might not be a going concern, was the beginning of the period that I studied. I mean, I did look back at things that happened before that, but I don't see that the situation has improved such that another auditor would come to a different conclusion, despite the fact that I know that WBAI has made enormous efforts to recover from the last 15 months since the storm and done things that would any company or any board of directors would normally massively applaud, with a drastic reduction of cost and the actual recovery of income despite the lack of resources. It's quite astonishing what has happened there. And I'm going to devote any time I have 3 minutes tomorrow, I hope, to describing what has happened. But today, while the lawyer is here, I'd like both the board and the lawyer to please describe what is the situation, what is that worst-case scenario, where in order to save Pacifica, we would actually have to take a drastic step of doing a PSOA. What exactly is that? Somebody describe that to me. And then I have asked the lawyer to describe, is it possible to structure a PSOA that does not include a clause that would, is it possible to structure a PSOA such that it is guaranteed that the ownership, the control of programming returns to Pacifica at the end of the lease? Or is that not possible? But today, I thought we could ask questions. I guess we can't. But whenever you have your public discussion tomorrow, I beg you to please, on the table, lay it out. Why? What would be the circumstance that would actually force us into that corner? That we can't meet payroll at all five stations, or that, you know, BAI is losing its transmitter because we're 2 months behind and there's three payrolls we can't meet? What is it, that would trigger this?
Thank you. Yeah, go ahead. Summer wants to make an announcement.
Yes. I just, in response to all of the public comment and speaking to some of the local members, I understand there is a tremendous amount of misinformation circulating at the local level, and I hope to address that. I was originally scheduled to leave on Wednesday morning following a meeting with the union. On Tuesday, I'm going to do my best to rearrange my schedule so that I can attend your LSB meeting on Wednesday evening, bring financial documents so that they're, some of what people have said can be addressed, with written documentation, so there's a better understanding at the local level as to what is going on and what has gone on in the past. So I just wanted to let you know why you are here. I hope to be able to do that so that I can answer questions in person, and hopefully we can have better communication at the local and national level. Thank you.
Okay. Now, do you want me to make that announcement now?